The University of Detroit Mercy presents another brand new episode of Ask the Professor. Today's program was recorded using Zoom video conferencing technology.
The University Tower chimes, bringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today in what we used to call Center Square, but I call the upper left. It's Professor Beth Oljar.
Oh, hey, good to be here. Well, I don't know where I appear on your screen instead of mine, so...
There you go.
It's always a surprise when you start introducing people.
I'm going to take Beth Oljar for the block. That's what I say.
Philosophy for 100, Alex.
Exactly. Exactly. How are things going, Beth?
Fine. Things are fine.
Nice. Any fun Bali stories that you can lay on our listeners?
Bali?
Bali.
Oh, Bali. Bali. The old ones pretty much sleep all the time. Mia continues, we have had to use baby locks to secure certain drawers and cabinets in the household against this very curious cat. If I could give her a lobotomy and make her less curious, I would think about it. But she's so adorable, you can't really be mad at her. She's a cat. I mean, they're just curious. That's just how they are. So she recently has been getting on counters and knocking things off. And usually it's a play for food.
Nice. So. Nice. I thought of you this last week. There was a nice little gag cartoon going around the internet where the dad points at a dog passing by and the little toddler, he's like, what does the dog say? And the toddler says, woof. And then a cat passes by. He's to the toddler. He's like, what does the cat say? And the kid's voice goes all demonic. And he goes, waiting patiently to overtake our humans. And as the cat's walking by, he's like, narc. Oh, that's so great.
We're always trying to take over the world, Pinky.
Uh-huh. Always. Continuing around the circle here, it's a semicircle, you know, whatever. It's the letter U. Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
I'm always trying to chart the total number of tiny yellow post-it notes behind you. Is it a changing number? I think it's going up.
No, I've been doing little blue post-it notes as of late, but that's elsewhere in the office.
Is there a significance to the yellow versus the blue?
No, it's what I had on hand.
Got it.
Functional.
Got
it. Also.
So talk to us about your garage dish.
The garage, we just had lights, electricity, and... the moat will get filled Monday. That's all.
It's party. It's a party garage.
Well, the thing is, yeah, we're running underground electrical, so I officially call it my electrified moat.
Right, right.
So it works. So
underground electrical is actually kind of cool for a garage. That's a nice.
Right now, I am just waiting to get the garage put back together so I can pull my car out from CCS storage.
Yeah,
that's right.
I don't know if I told you, Matt. It was stored in the basement of CCS for a little bit.
I think I did hear that. And by the way, not a moment too soon for handsome car time of year, Dave.
During the flood, Matt. During the flood. So I had to pull it out of there.
Oh, no. It didn't get wet, did it?
It tickled the white walls.
Oh, my. My, oh, my.
So pulled it.
We've been having some serious water problems in southeastern Michigan this season. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
That and, you know, giant tanker trucks rolling over and exploding on I-75. Yeah. Otherwise... fine. Professor Heather Hill is here. You don't have the vapors, do you?
I have the vapors.
Really the vapors.
And it's a little warm up here in the 19th.
He has no air conditioning.
Mansion. Yeah, no air.
That's got to be a factor.
I'm good.
Well, I'd be psychotic, and look how pleasant she is.
Beth, you're psychotic with air. So, I mean, I can only imagine.
Don't take Professor Oljar's air away. Heather, how have things been going lately?
Good.
Any like major renovations at the abode lately or still planning?
The fence and actually the new driveway got poured today.
Oh, great. Wow. Well, that's moving forward. Nice. Yeah.
And we didn't quite make this agreement with the guy that's doing the driveway, but apparently he's also going to do the walk because he dug it out. So
Professor Dan Maggio.
Hey, Matt.
What's going on, Dan?
I was watching a tanker accident and wondering all the people who just spent 2 years pouring that freeway, what were they thinking? Like, are you kidding me?
There's nothing like getting a Detroit Free Press alert on your phone that says, recently replaced part of 75 may take months to
just opened it. And so, but things are well here in Berkeley, as you probably know. On the west side of Berkeley, things are really well. I don't know about the east side of Berkeley, how you guys are doing over there. So,
Dan, I've been living in a world where it rains in the front yard, but not the back. Like, I don't even know what's going on here. Yep. So, you know,
defies physics.
It really, truly does. You know, you saw the Mayo family mud pit, or at least the beginnings of the foundation. And I'm like, how is this working open to the elements for so many weeks before they actually get a roof over this place? I'm anxious to see if all the water drains away in its own time. We'll see. But
is there a ETA on occupancy?
There is a 1st of May, 2022, which gives them just enough time to build the superstructure going into winter, and then they can have the cold months to be warm on the inside, but take care of all the other detail work, you know?
I still think you've got to find a way to give Leslie a bathtub. I'm just saying,
I know,
a friend giving you advice.
I it's a very important thing. And we joke all the time. I'm sure you saw there's a one-story ladder that goes into the basement. And we're like, oh, that's the way we're going to get in and out of our house. And, you know, the boys just sort of take it at face value. Like, really?
Matt, do I have to do like the Mr. Haney pull up in a flatbed truck with a bathtub once a week out to your house and just draw curtains and let your wife take a bath in it? And charge
One word, Dave. Poolmobile. Poolmobile.
Swimmobile. I grew up with that.
Those were the days, man. Those were the days. Professor Jim Tubbs is also with us today. It's a slightly different background, Jim.
Greetings from Massanutten, Virginia.
Nice. How is everything in Virginia?
The mountains are beautiful. Yep. It's a bit warm today, about 90, but it's pretty in the mountains. Yeah, we've been up on the Skyline Drive several times, and it's cooler up there.
So what are your plans for visiting Virginia?
Well, I've been here since last Thursday, and I'll be leaving day after tomorrow to drive home. It's only 9.5 hours.
Okay, not too bad. And a place I believe, if I remember correctly, that you're quite familiar with.
Yes, indeed.
Excellent. Well, folks, this is a program you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook and Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. That's the Mayo family grandmother clock.
The Mayo Tower chimes, right?
Yes, the Mayo Tower chimes. Oh my word. Has it come to this? Let's see if it gets the right number of hours. What time is it again here?
4.
Yeah, there we go. We lost a professor, but hopefully we'll gain a professor at some point during the
I wonder where she went.
Yep. There might have been an internet connection there. I don't know what's going on. Okay. Dear professors. The attached document consists of 12 questions with a sort of bird theme. That is, not every question is actually about a feathered friend, but the name of some type of bird will be featured in the questions. They're general knowledge, and 9 out of 12 is a passing score in my book. Thanks and good luck. It's been a while since we've heard from Kara Kowalczyk of Rochester Hills, Michigan. So thanks, Kara, for sending those questions.
Thanks for sending them in. Yeah.
Yep. I believe if we remember correctly, and I really hope I don't get too schooled on this, that Kara was the one that either worked at one point or still works for Mental Floss, which is a wonderful little bevy of websites online with fun trivia and things like that. So check it out when you can. Okay. For the birds, for the title. What actor played Robin, the Boy Wonder, on the 1960s TV series Batman?
Burt Ward?
Yeah. Burt Ward, yes. I knew that those bits of TV trivia were not going to go too far. Let's be serious. What is the name of the flap that prevents food particles from entering your larynx and lungs?
Epiglottis.
Swallow. Yeah, that's the epiglottis. Yes. So for the record, Kara's giving me a parenthetical here. Look, I put the word flap in air quotes. That's as close to bird
connection was there. I'm like, what? Okay.
Well, once she owned a flamingo that she named Epiglottis. No, I know that's not true at all. But flap was in quotes. So let's see if we can sort of emphasize that.
It's like the flapper in the toilet tank, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Absolutely. Which of the following accessories was not ever sported by the Vlasic Pickle Stork mascot? So we have four things. One of them was not ever sported by the Vlasic Pickle Stork mascot: hat, spats, eyeglasses, bow tie.
Spats,
bow tie.
It says here there were no spats. Actually, the Vlasic Pickle Stork has a bow tie, Dan.
Okay. I've had to draw that because Vlasic's done out of Detroit.
That is exactly right. It's an old Detroit brand. It was absorbed into one of those big conglomerates, though, right?
Unilever, whatever. Yeah. But yeah, exactly. All the advertising used to be done out of Detroit. I know the two guys that created it back in the 50s.
It's basically a rip on Groucho Marx, if I remember correctly. The guy's like holding the pickle as if it was like
a cigar.
A cigar. Yeah, exactly.
I thought there was like a delivering baby metaphor with pickle.
That too. They went down that angle.
I mean, storks all around, Beth. Storks all around. Oh, here we go. I think we're getting Heather back. That's a good thing.
There she is.
Let's see. And Heather, 3, 2, 1, you're on.
She'll show up.
Which of the following canned products, first launched in 1906, featured a kiwi bird as its logo? Was it snuff, coffee, lard, polish?
Shoe polish.
Shoe polish.
Yeah. Kiwi. Yeah.
Kiwi brand shoe polish. Absolutely.
I still got some.
That's awesome. Brand of shoe polish that you see in stores. So,
so how many of you have that old? It's a wooden box that you could put your polishes and brushes in, and it had the angled platform on top for your shoe. We used to have that shoe box. We were kids.
Those were the days, Dan. Yes. Heather.
Sorry, my old computer was being old. So now I'm here.
We're glad to have you back, Heather. We're doing some bird-related questions. Bird-related questions. How about this one? What singer-songwriter recorded the 1973 soundtrack album, Jonathan Livingston Seagull, which was a companion piece to the film and book of the same title written by Richard Bach?
Musician.
Carol Bayer Sager?
It was a male, not
a female. Christofferson?
No, but that's a really good guess.
Kurt Bacharach?
Bacharach.
Yeah.
That's another really good guess. This person would be a contemporary of all those folks if we're talking 1973.
Cat
Stevens. Nope.
Initials?
Paul Williams?
It was initials N D.
Neil not Neil Sedaka. No.
Neil Diamond.
Neil Diamond. There we go. Good old Neil Diamond. Yes, the Jonathan Livingston Seagull album. Something for you all to go look up on the internet tonight, let me tell you.
On vinyl.
What product was the subject of a long-running commercial that featured a wise old owl advising a child as to how many licks it took to get to the center?
Tootsie Roll Pop.
It was a Tootsie Pop, to be super technical, you know?
Yeah, it is the Tootsie Pop.
And do you remember what the owl found the number was?
Three.
You need the tongue roll after it, too. So.
A one, a two, a three.
And that was also done out of Detroit by the same guys that did the Vlasic Stork, too.
You know, I remember the Tootsie Roll commercial where the kids are walking down the street and everything turns into a Tootsie Roll. Like, that's my youth right there. Whatever it is I think I see becomes a Tootsie Roll to me. Does anybody remember this? Could be a Gen X sort of thing. Sorry.
Vaguely.
I only vaguely remember the owl. So.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
That's a standby.
Yep.
You're listening to a special edition of Ask the Professor, in which the six professors participating in this recording session were connecting to each other from different locations, thanks to Zoom video conferencing technology. We're grateful to those listeners who submitted questions for today's show, and we welcome your questions at atp@udmercy.edu. Now, let's return to our host, Matt Mayo, with more questions for the panel.
And we've got questions from
Kara Kowalczyk of Rochester Hills, Michigan. An albatross served as the major plot point in The Rime of the Ancient Mariner, a work first published in 1798 by?
Not Yeats.
No.
Initials are STC.
Samuel Taylor Coleridge.
Yeah,
Samuel
Coleridge. Yes, Coleridge. The Rime of the Ancient Mariner. And all I can think about is John Cleese walking around the audience selling fresh albatross at Monty Python and the Hollywood Bowl. Oh, man, what an angry person he was. Lots of great Python retrospective stuff on Netflix and HBO Max. You got to go look it up, everybody. Some pretty fun stuff.
Did John Cleese die?
No.
He's one of the oldest of the crew.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Still very witty.
So, what was that? Who was the one who recently passed? Was it Terry Jones?
Terry Jones.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Do you remember what he posted on his tweet? Like, you know, two down, four to go, or something like
That's right. Two down, four to go when Terry Jones passed. That was right at the start of the pandemic when Terry Jones passed away. They, about 6 years ago, pre Terry Jones passing, but, you know, Graham Chapman died in 1989. It's been a while. They actually did a benefit concert for themselves, and they were putting together sort of a live stage show in Britain. And based on this documentary that I saw, they were interviewing them, and they're like, you know, why are you doing this just all of a sudden? And they're like, oh, you know, John has gambling debts, and, you know, Eric owes this one guy money. And then later on in the show, like near the end of the documentary, you realize most of what they were saying along those lines was actually correct. They're like, Terry's having problems with his mortgage, so we threw this together. Whoa. I'm like, it's so funny. I don't know whether it's true or not.
If that's the case, can we have a Ask the Professor fundraiser here? I mean,
oh my gosh,
you know, I need a garage built, and you know, Heather, you know, your driveway doesn't come cheap, and we might need bail money for Jim to come back from Virginia.
I really hope not.
Yeah.
Well, I'm coming back by way of the Pennsylvania Turnpike, so you might.
You're going to need car repairs then.
Sure. Yep.
And Beth, kitty litter does not come cheap now, does it?
That's right.
No.
Especially when you have to get the respiratory relief kitty litter.
There you go. We have the Ask the Professor fundraising episode.
It's unbelievable how spoiled.
The GoFundMe account for Beth's cats.
Next question here. This is a good one. This sort of shows how the zeitgeist of the moment can run away with all of us. Six-year-old Falcon Heen earned what nickname from the media in 2009 after his dramatic missing child story attracted international attention before being revealed as a hoax?
Was this the balloon kid?
Balloon boy, yes.
Oh, boy. I remember that.
Balloon boy, yes.
Balloon boy, yes. Oh no, we put him in a balloon and he's gone. We can't find him. Oh, you gotta be kidding me. Simpler times, mark my words, simpler
so
times.
So they found, I don't remember the story, but the child obviously, hopefully, showed up safe somewhere.
He did, but it was all planned out to be like a media incident where the kid would be lost via balloon. Yeah, it's pretty sad.
And he shows up magically 20 hours later in Roanoke or something like that.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. Which of the eight Canary Islands was the site of the deadliest accident in aviation history when two 747s collided? Yes, that was Tenerife.
Two 747s, one taking off and the other one taxiing.
Yep, Los Rodeos Airport 1977 is what it says here.
And what we discovered in that incident was that polyester double knit does not burn up, it melts.
Yes. My skin is crawling already. Ugh. 1, 2, and 3 are classified as the cardinal numbers. What term do we use to describe first, second, third?
Ordinals?
Ordinal numbers.
Hey, yes, ordinal. I got that.
You got that, Miss Philosophy Major. Yes, you did.
For a moment, that had me scared. I kept on thinking first, second, third. Wait a minute. This sounds like bad dating tips from an ill-prepared dad.
Yeah, it's true. Cardinal. I'm starting to get the vibe.
It's numbers, Dave.
Oh, gotcha. Bases, numbers, just run somewhere. That's all.
What was the name of Martin Crane's beloved Jack Russell Terrier on the TV show Frasier.
Eddie, who was the greatest dog ever.
That was a good dog.
Except for K2.
Well, what I'm always worried about, Beth, in situations like that is that they've like mastered cloning and they got like a closet full of like 100 Eddies because something goes wrong in every episode. But if I remember correctly, I think it was the same dog for the whole series.
He was adorable.
Absolutely adorable. Last one here from Kara Kowalczyk. These have been great, Kara, so thanks for sending them in. What artist famously interrupted Taylor Swift's acceptance speech at the 2009 Video Music Awards?
Kanye West. Yes.
Did you call him an artist?
Excuse me for interrupting, but Beyonce had the best video of all time.
Did you say that he was an artist?
It does say he's an artist.
Okay.
Artist, politician, crackpot, you know, a lot of names.
Man of many talents.
By the time we got to the middle of last year, I was feeling some pretty harsh, feelings for Kanye. I mean, I think he struggles with some very severe mental health issues and he needs to get some help because.
Well, I remember a few years ago, he showed up at CCS too. I'm like, oh.
He did?
Yeah, he showed up at CCS and jumping all over tables, making kind of a spectacle of himself.
They named their daughter North. What else do you need to know?
Well,
her name is
the North. Mother might have had something to do with that too.
Yeah, we don't want to.
Well, they, I mean, none of the Kardashians should be reproducing.
I mean, look at what Frank Zappa.
We're not talking Mensa material here.
Right.
Look, we all look forward to that child's, future, in their 50s, biography, North by Northwest.
Right.
Couldn't help myself. No. Could not
help myself. Just like Peaches, Pixie, and Fifi Trixieville.
I think I reached Beth on that one. Okay. So the Mayo family clock is chiming again. We have a couple minutes left, and you know what that means. It's time for Frank Burrows and the Burrows family list of ATP imponderables.
Oh, imponderables.
What imponderable will we see today? What is the favorite thing that you've seen in a museum? What is your favorite thing that you've seen in a museum?
Wow.
Free admission?
The Declaration of Independence.
That's a big deal.
That's a good one.
Drew and I got all verklempt when we were in Independence Hall. We were choked up and everything.
That's cool.
Really cool.
That's totally cool.
Be there.
I mean, that is a piece of human history, no matter how you slice it. Yep.
I think it was a piece of the hull of the Titanic that had one of the cantilever kind of porthole windows that opened, and she got to see the mechanism how it opened too.
Wow. Yeah, that's cool. That's been halfway across the world, Jim, to the bottom of the Atlantic and then back again. That's pretty cool. I was just going to say, the 8 or 9 year old me would probably answer, we're pretty lucky, considering all the other museums across the country, to have the Henry Ford in the Detroit area. And the Allegheny steam engine just sitting there in the middle of the museum is one of the most spectacular feats of engineering that I've ever laid eyes on. And the fact that it's just sitting there, never will go anywhere ever again. I think that that's kind of cool.
My mother was raised in Covington, Virginia, in coal country, and she can remember that engine coming through town pulling coal cars when she was a girl.
Incredible.
And they still got the tracks in front of that thing. I would just love to see that thing just roll out of the building, just come back. Just do a loop around the park and come back.
Wow, that would be interesting. Could it do it is the question. Yeah. I think we're still waiting on Dan and Heather.
I can't really think of anything. I mean, I have things that I remember that I enjoy, but like nothing that stands out.
The Detroit Industry murals in Rivera. I mean, those were kind of
The Rosetta Stone was pretty interesting.
Yeah, that was kind
of museum. Yeah, the British Museum of Natural History.
Mm-hmm. The British Museum.
Yeah. Museum. So I've been there, and the Natural History Museum is pretty spectacular. Yeah,
it is.
As a whole.
As is the V&A, their Smithsonian.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, you've been to places in Italy, Heather, right? Like,
oh yeah. I mean, it's really, really hard to choose, but what leaps to mind is that I had an internship when I was in college at the Folger Shakespeare Library in Washington, D.C., and I was actually able to see and turn the pages of various manuscripts in Shakespeare's own hand. So
wow.
I'll say that.
You haven't washed your hands since, have you? So.
No.
It only in the interest of filling time and making everybody laugh. There is an American Museum of Chemistry. It's in Philadelphia. It's called the Chemical Heritage Museum. And even though I've been to Philadelphia 3 or 4 times for American Chemical Society meetings, I always forget that it's there and I've never been. So maybe the next time. Oh, and I forgot to mention, Philadelphia was the ACS meeting of March 2020. So that was going to be my next time to be able to go. And I remembered that time, but couldn't travel because of the pandemic. So
maybe we'll you need to make a special trip, Matthew.
Seriously. They've got some pretty interesting original apparatus and notebooks of very famous American chemists, people like Linus Pauling and connections to Gilbert Lewis, people all over the world, frankly. American chemistry is a pretty big deal, but yeah.
There's a medical history museum in Philadelphia too.
Yeah, there you go.
Is it the Mutter Museum there too? Is that the one I'm thinking of?
What's that?
The Mutter Museum? Is that the one with the medical oddities or whatever?
Oh, possibly, yeah. I can't remember.
I'm still trying to think of what floored me. I mean, the only one that kind of really comes to mind is what the 9/11 memorials in New York.
Yes. My sister said that too. She's been there and she said it was incredibly moving and powerful, that memorial. Well,
I remember my senior year in college, we got to go to the top of the Trade Center for a presentation.
Wow.
4th of July, and we watched the fireworks happen below us.
Oh, yeah. That's incredible.
Pretty cool. So, and then like knowing that I was there, and then I remember the morning it hit. And then I had also lost a friend in the second flight that hit it too. So that's always been kind of a weird emotional tug for me in that one. That's all. But is that considered like a museum though, in a way?
I mean, it's an exhibit, no question about that. You know,
I think it's like the Vietnam Memorial Wall. I mean,
yeah.
I can imagine somebody saying.
You don't think it's going to get to you, but it does.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
I think the most amazing museum display that I ever saw was at the National Gallery, the East Wing of the National Gallery in Washington in 1986. And it was called the New Painting, which is what Impressionism was known as in mid-19th century France. And it had the collections from 1869, 1870, 71, 72, up to 82, I think, separate rooms for each one, because they had to rent their own space. The French Academy would not accommodate them. So it was amazing seeing all of these Impressionist paintings in one place. They'd borrowed them from all over the world.
The term Impressionism was initially an insult of the style of painting.
Really?
Of Monet's impressions of something.
It just left an impression, right?
Yeah. Because
of the way in which it integrates light into the... So.
Yeah.
As opposed to the painting that preceded it, which was kind of very dark and heavy and didn't use...
And realism.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So they're just leaving an impression on the canvas, right? And calling it like, well, yeah.
At least Impressionism had certain limits. Expressionism did not.
That's right. I'm afraid, professors, though, we've reached the end of our time together. So the time's come to say goodbye. Jim.
Good afternoon.
Dan.
Goodbye, everybody.
Dave.
See you.
And Beth.
Bye.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.